All right, let's roll. Not neglected. Good afternoon, brave judges. Here you are in court costs and administration, and I'm so proud of you. It's very brave to enter into this world, what is usually the clerk's domain. I will try to speak up. I'm usually, unless I'm at home and talking to my children, I'm very soft-spoken, so I will try to be louder than Rob next door. As I said, my name is Kathy Riedel. I am the program director for the clerks program. That's where I've been all day, next door with the clerks. And my background is I've worked in municipal law for about 15, 20 years. And I've been a municipal court judge in two cities for about 7 years. I've also been a prosecutor in municipal court. And with four children, I've also been a defense attorney. So I've worked in municipal courts for quite some time, but I had no idea until I started working with the clerks program that I just saw the tip of the iceberg of what was out there, that there's a lot of it underneath the surface that we as judges don't deal with. So here is a class that you can understand a little bit about what the clerks are doing when they're not in the courtroom and why you need to know. Do I have any clerks slash judges in the room? Okay. What city are you with, ma'am? White Deer? Okay. And are you a judge slash clerk or clerk slash judge? Do you? Okay. And now you're the judge. Do you have support personnel that help you, or are you running the whole show? Right? Yeah. All right, wearing many hats. And in our rural areas, we have police dispatchers slash judges slash clerks. So a lot of what I'm talking about, you have worked with. And you, sir, are a court clerk as well? Judge? No support staff. All right. Have you had to deal with court costs and reports? All right, so who can tell me how many agencies that municipal court has to report to, state agencies? OCA, Office of Court Administration, Comptroller's Office. All right, you guys are going to have a distinct advantage here, but everybody else has got their heads in their book. So the Comptroller, and what's our third agency you have to report to? DPS, right? You've got conviction reports. You've got the DIC 81, the DIABC 23, just a lot of different reporting goes on. So what we're going to talk about this afternoon is basically the court cost, and we're going to stay away from the OCA reporting and DPS reporting. Don't want to overwhelm you with the administrative details all at one time. But this is why you need to know. If you allocate wrong court cost to the wrong offenses, or if you don't collect the proper court cost for the proper offense, you're going to have probably an unpleasant or uninvited visit from the comptrollers. The statutes say in 45.203 that a court shall not collect any court cost or fee that's not specifically authorized. So if you are collecting a court cost that's not authorized, the comptroller is going to call that unjust enrichment. And you, one day, if you are audited, will have to come up with the 10 cents here, the $3 there, and find those defendants and return this money. So that's an important reason to be a little involved with what your clerks are doing and know that those court costs are being collected. Another incident where it came up in the 800 number is the local ordinances, your court security fee, your court technology fee. Those are court costs that are authorized by ordinance. And I found many prosecutors, or I don't know how many is, but prosecutors calling and saying, I just found out that our ordinance was sunsetted 5 years ago, 3 years ago. And so if you've got these severance clause or sunset clauses in your ordinance, then whenever that ordinance expired, if you're still collecting that $3, $4 court cost, this is not authorized by statute, and you may have to go back, find these defendants, or remit these unclaimed funds to the state. So that's another reason you need to know. And one I've been hearing more and more lately with cities, budget crunches, problems there, I've had some mayors calling and saying, this clerk doesn't know what she's doing, this judge doesn't know what she's doing, we're collecting all this money and they're doing it wrong. We bring in all these funds and she's giving it all to the state, or he's giving it all to the state. They're not running their operation right, and I want to know how to correct that. So educating your city councils, when your appointment's up, it's always good to keep open communication, because anybody have the experience that your city council doesn't really understand what your job is, separation of powers, where the money goes? So that's a good reason to keep in mind what these court costs are, to explain it to your city council. So where are they? They're all over the place. State court costs, we're going to address briefly. They are in the local government code. This is where you find a biggie. This is the consolidated court cost. Now this, back in the day, the year was 2004, the legislature met and they said, you know, we've got this court cost, they're just going everywhere, and we need to consolidate it. So in 2004, they consolidated it. This goes to fund emergency, rural emergency hospitals. In your materials, I've got a paper that spells out where these court costs go, a percentage here, a percentage there, and it's also, of course, in the statute. But this is the largest court cost. It is on all non-jailable offenses, but for pedestrian and parking, so go figure. But it is not consolidated because we leave the local government code. And another court cost you find in the local government code is that time payment fee. If you've got a defendant who takes more than 30 days to pay their court costs, their fine, then we've got a $25 court cost there, the time payment fee in the local government code. Where else do you find them? This is a big statute, a big chapter in the Code of Criminal Procedure, chapter 102. Here you're going to find court costs for your police officer, for your warrant officer service, witness fees, jury fees. You've got the $30 court cost that you can collect if there is a petition for an expunction, the child safety fund. So we find a bulk outside of the local government code and that consolidated court cost. You're going to find the bulk of the remaining court cost in Chapter 102. We also have them in the transportation code. The traffic fund, I believe the statute calls it a traffic fee, and that's a misnomer because fines are for guilty people, right? And fees, court costs, those are not fees. We're dying here. Woo! You can feel free to fan yourselves. So the traffic fund, we're going to find in the transportation code. State traffic fee. So traffic fund, and I've got a chart where I'm breezing through these right now, so you can go back and impress your clerks with your knowledge of these funds. But traffic fee, traffic court cost, $30. State traffic fee, $3. Have you noticed that your court costs are higher than your fines? Oy vey, you know, they're just, I'm finding when I was a municipal judge in Liberty Hill that I'm really seeing more and more difficulty with defendants coming up with these court costs. Child passenger safety seat. This is one that gave us a lot of heartburn in the last legislative session, and I'll go over that more in a minute. But here I've got a chart. Again, these are in your materials. But we see our biggie, the consolidated court cost, the judicial, jury reimbursement fund, state traffic fee, indigent defense fund. And the reason I've got this chart up here is when you're explaining to your mayor where did the money go, of this $40, we get to retain, your cities get to retain 10%. You retain 10% if you timely file your report with the comptroller's office. And so timely means quarterly. Four times a year, the 20th day after the end of the quarter, you've got to file this report with the comptroller. So that means that we get, what is 10%? I got up way too early, despite mountain time. You get to keep 10% of each of these court costs, except for the traffic fund, the $30 traffic fund. And there, the city just keeps 5%. Now, I'll submit to you that it probably costs more to administer some of these court costs than you're bringing in. I'll mention here, and again, we're going to address this in a later slide, the state traffic fund. That only applies to rules of the road offenses. So who can tell me what a rules of the road offense is? Speeding is a rules of the road offense. That's correct. We're going to get there. There's an article in the Recorder. That's given us some consternation, but for the most part, that's correct. We've got two different categories there. Anybody else? Rules of the road offenses are those offenses, they're what we deal with for the most part in our courts, but they are found in Chapter 541 through 600 of the Transportation Code. So when you're applying these court costs that only go to rules of the road offenses, those are the sections, it's subtitle C of the Transportation Code, 541 through 600. So this is showing you where does this money go. And the next slide, local court costs. Now I'm calling these local court costs because these are actual costs that stay with your city. There are five instances where we can collect by ordinance court costs that stay with us. Here I've outlined those costs that come with the city. CS, and again, I've got this outlined in your materials, what these abbreviations mean. The Child Safety Fund, if a person has committed an offense in a school crossing zone, then we've got to attach $25 there. And when I tell you they're all over the place, honestly, we've got child safety funds, same fund, but if it happens, if failure to attend school or contributing to non-attendance, that's in the education code, and we've got to keep track of that court cost. That's $20. So if it's a school crossing zone, you're going to tack on a $25 court cost. If it's in the education code, we're going to tack on a $20 court cost. Now, the good thing about this is it stays with your city, but there was a statute that says this has to go to your school crossing guard program. Well, if you're a large city, if you're collecting a lot of this money, then there's only so many school crossing guards you might need. The legislature in this last session expanded this, so it's anything for child safety. So it might be word isn't quite out that we've got another slush fund in addition to our technology and security that hold on too tight. Your city or your police department may want to get it. But it has that use has been expanded. Again, we've got the traffic fund. So the biggie went to the state, but $3 for rules of the road offenses stay with your city. If you have a jury trial, $3 is going to stay with your city. And there is a jury fee where you can actually collect the actual cost for bringing in witnesses and all. I don't see that used too much. And again, that's the actual cost that your city incurs. Do any of you all use that, the actual cost? Well, there is an additional court cost for failing to cancel. That is not uncommon. Now, these court costs, if they're not adjudicated, you can't really impose them. So we've got to find this fellow, woman, girl, boy, and get them adjudicated to assess any court cost. But if you have set it for a jury trial, and you have had to summons witnesses, you've had your law enforcement officers, and I've heard it interpreted that if they've got to go overtime, that these are actual costs that are incurred. Judge Ramsey, what do y'all do in Denton? That's how I became aware of this statute, is I had some clerks calling and they're, well, he didn't do this, she didn't do that, and wanting to nail these additional costs on. But I think it would be difficult to track what the actual costs are, and you'd have to document that. All right, these are the five court costs that your city has to have an ordinance. Does everybody have the security fund? Everybody? That is a valuable tool for wide range of uses. One, sending your personnel, yourself, to education, continuing education classes. But anything from bulletproof glass to your bailiff warrant officers, this is a good fund to have. You just have to protect your court from, you know, it's in your coffers, protect it from your PD and your city council. The technology fund. In Liberty Hill, the court is in an old metal laundromat, but we are spending $900,000 to light up this laundromat and provide additional security measures there. Now, it doesn't say we can buy a new court. It's broad in its use. But we're going to have some fancy lights in Liberty Hill. Juvenile case manager. This is getting to be a popular item in municipal courts. I'm getting a lot of calls. We want to have a juvenile case manager, but there's limitations about what your juvenile case manager can work on. Still, nonetheless, you may want to, if you've got large juvenile dockets, if you're finding it a concern, it's taking up a lot of your time, look into getting a juvenile case manager. Have them manage your dockets. Look at some pre-sentencing matters. I think that will help alleviate your workload. And this last one, the special expense fee. That is to serve warrants. And if you need to fund a warrant officer, or if you're having a burden trying to get your warrant served, you can, of course, you've got to pass this ordinance, collect up to $25. So it's not, building security is $3. The other statutes say up to $4. Now, if you're going to go to the trouble to pass the ordinance, I suspect all of you are going to ask for $4 on your technology fund. So when do we implement court cost? Let me hear. Right. This is to serve warrants. If you've got a failure to appear or violate promise to appear and you've got to issue a warrant and get them served with a warrant, then you can pass this ordinance and attach a $25 fee on that. Yes, yes. Well, it's processing. So that's a question for your discretion. What is processing a warrant? Is that faxing the warrant over to PD and they pick it up? Many courts interpret it that way. It is not serving it, it's processing it. So that's a lot of work goes into it. Now, it's not the court just preparing the warrant and the judge signing it. It has to get over to law enforcement, and they've got to, quote, process it. So when do we implement new court costs? We have dealt with it for this year. We've had some court costs that were particularly problematic. Fortunately, we've got a year's grace before we get to deal with it again. But it's January 1st, and the reason it's January 1st is this provision of the government code. It says that after the legislature passes a court cost, that they've got to get it to the comptroller. The comptroller's got to publish it in the Texas Register, which we all read, right, so we can keep current. Notice is out there. And notwithstanding the date that the legislature says it's going to be effective, it's going to be effective January 1st. And this actually makes sense because September 1st, this law goes into effect. We've all got to scramble to update our software to get the word out that there's a new court cost. So no matter what the legislature says about the effective date of a court cost, it's going to happen January 1st, unless the statute says otherwise, past that date. All right, so this is into y'all's domain here. When are court costs mandatory? Y'all think they're mandatory? Is the state going to give up their piece of any financial train here? It's running the machine. Court costs are mandatory, and they must be assessed upon conviction. So upon conviction is defined for this purpose in the local government code, and that can mean when the judgment and sentence is imposed, when the defendant receives deferred, or when they get DSC. So that's when court costs are mandatory. They've got to be imposed at one of these three times. And they have to be paid. Again, we're in the area of your discretion. They are due when you pronounce a judgment. You can, in your discretion, provide that they be paid at a later date. If they take more than 30 days to do it, then we're going to add the $25 time payment fee. Or at specific intervals. I know that you've all worked on a case-by-case basis with I get paid next Friday, I can pay so much a month. So this is a matter for your discretion. They are mandatory, but we have an exception for every rule. When do you think you can waive a court cost? Indigent, yes, sir. If teen court, that is an instance where you can waive court costs. And if you've got an indigent defendant, but it's not just in the determination that the defendant is indigent, you've got to find that it would be an undue hardship for this defendant to do community service. Rob's cranking up. It must not be as hot in there. He had a wool jacket on. All right, so when a defendant has insufficient resources or income, the judge may require community service. So we credit $50 for every 8 hours of service. This law was changed. It used to be $100 credit. I can't remember what year. Anybody remember what year that changed? But at least two legislative sessions. Two ago? Two sessions ago. So we've been working with it for a while. $50 credit. At least, not, you're right, that is more accurate, that not less than $50. You can, in your discretion, allow more credit, $100. That is discretionary for the judge. So if a defendant served time in jail for committing the offense or for any warrants associated it, the judge, it's statutory that you shall credit the defendant for time served. Now, does that mean if they're in TDC for aggravated robbery, do y'all get these letters? I have a pending case for this, this, and this, and I would like credit. I'm in TDC for burglary of a habitation, and can you give me credit? Do y'all do that? When I was on the bench, I did it often because I figured I want to get the cases off the books. They're in TDC for the next 10 years, and I'm not getting that blood from that turnip. So that, again, is your discretion. If it's an offense other than the one they're charged with. Before we go into the new court cost, here's some resource numbers for you. Our number, our 800 line at TMCEC. Have y'all all visited our website? There's a search line there on our website. And if you wanted to know more about a specific area regarding court cost, the court cost chart is on our website. But anytime you've got a specific area you want to know about, you can access all of our previous recorder articles, our course materials. All of these will be online. OCA, they are your go-to person, Office of Court Administration. Unlike DPS, they do answer their phone. For those of you with, every time you get appointed, you've got to let OCA know who you are, who your court clerk is. That's a requirement. And then the State Comptroller's Office, here's that number. Good luck with that. All right. The last number, which should be in your materials, there we go. Comptroller? Okay. I have gotten them to answer Ron Dietz. Ask for Ron Dietz. First human I've gotten to talk to me at the comptroller's office. All right. New court costs. Things that have been giving your court clerks consternation this year. Moving violation fee. Now, this has been so problematic definition-wise, and Judge, you mentioned moving violations as that's rules of the road offenses. I wrote a journal article about this issue before last, because clerks have to apply court cost to moving violations, and then they have to apply it to rules of the road offenses. Well, you've got some moving violations that are on a list that's established by DPS. And this week, go back and tell your clerks that this list has been updated. They'll be thrilled. But with a moving violation, help me out if y'all are getting wearier and wearier. Think of a moving violation that wouldn't be in the transportation code. Let's stretch here for a minute. Let's think penal code. What offense do we deal with in the penal code that involves racing is a Class B misdemeanor now, isn't it? Used to be, it's a B? Is it an A? All right, we don't have that, but you know you are right. I'm so into my Class C mindset. It is a moving violation. It's just one we don't have jurisdiction over. Oh, okay. All right, yes, you're right. Another one. One that we deal with in our courts. All right, open container. Open container is in the penal code. That is classified as a moving violation. DWI. Again, we don't have jurisdiction over that offense, but that's also classified as a moving violation. Thank you. DUI. DUI in the alcoholic beverage code is a moving violation. So we need to know this because there's been a new court cost, and it's a dime. It's a dime that is assessed on every moving violation. Now, I used to have an example of something in the transportation code rules of the road that wasn't a moving violation. For example, the new child safety seat. But DPS updated their moving violation list this week, so I can no longer use that example. But this came into effect because T-Close, they imposed a law that said we need to gather more data on violations, racial profiling. That we're showing that even though racial profiling was made illegal, I think in 2003, that we're still seeing a disproportionate amount of folks pulled over that are minorities. So we want to better track who is being pulled over, and not only what they're getting citations for, but why they were pulled over initially. You may end up with a speeding citation or a equipment violation, but they might have been pulled over for another reason. And also who the passengers are, were they cited? So if you've got a report on a passenger, we want to know information about the driver as well. But on the last day of the legislative session, that someone realized this is an unfunded mandate. So they passed this 10-cent court cost. And I think, have any of you seen your fines adjusted up to an even dollar amount? This is why you've seen adjustments in your fine. But the good news here, and take heart, if you, oh, I guess I left that punch for no PowerPoint slide. If you report this in a timely fashion, your city gets to keep a penny of each of these court costs. So that's the good news there. All right, we've gone over this. This is where you find what a moving violation is. And it's not as simple. Honestly, we've gotten hundreds of phone calls on the legal line about what this is. You have to go to the administrative code in Title 37, Part 1, Section 1589. That's where we find, and it originated, first we've got to start back with defining moving violation. It originated in the Driver Responsibility Program, the surcharge. So the surcharge statutes tell us that DPS is going to establish this list. Well, the list is in the Administrative Code, defined as an act committed in connection with the operation of a motor vehicle on a public street, which constitutes a hazard to traffic, is prohibited by law. I've lost all my punch slides, and is on the moving violation list. This next one is a doozy, and this is the last of our two new court costs for this year. It is a court cost imposed on a conviction for child passenger safety seats. So a 15-cent court cost. Do many of y'all have, who has more than five cases a month of violation of child passenger safety seat? Judge Ramsey does in Denton. What court are you with, sir?
San Benito.
Do you put these defendants on deferred generally if they show compliance, or do you have a, does it fall one way or the other? Some convicted, some not. Judge Ramsey, do you hammer them? Okay, and your prosecutor may offer deferred depending on the circumstances. Well, this court cost, I told you before that for the purposes of court cost, that conviction means DSC, it means deferred, it means straight conviction. This is an exception because the modifying language was not in the language establishing this court cost. So with child passenger safety seats, you're going to collect on conviction 15 cents. And one statistic I found interesting is at the hearings before the legislature, they had DPS and other proponents come and say, the comptroller's office, if we have 100% collection on this court cost, we're going to generate $13,000 to $17,000. That's 100% collection. But the estimate is that it's cost over $5 million to implement this court cost. You've got to go in. You've got to modify your software. So look for this one to be adjusted in the next legislative session. We've already expended what it takes to get Encode and other vendors in to change it up. But This is one that I suspect it would be changed. Another exception to this court cost is that it has to be sent to the comptroller monthly. The other court costs were quarterly. So, again, Ron Dietz, my buddy in the comptroller's office, he said that this has to be reported monthly, and clerks are calling and saying, well, my finance department is not going to cut a check for 45 cents. They won't cut a check for under $10. What do we do? In your materials, I've got the form that you use to submit this court cost, but straight out of the agency's mouth, there's no penalty for failing to file this timely. And there's no incentive, like retaining the 10% on most court costs, to file it in a timely fashion. So they are almost begging us, please don't send us 45 cents. Wait till you've got enough to submit it, and then send it to us. Let's see, I think I go to a 4, is that right? All right, I'm going to flash through these next ones. These are, if you went to a legislative update, it was addressed, but these are highlights of issues that affect judges. Deferred disposition, a special expense fee, when do y'all collect that? If defendant walks in with the cash, do you turn them away, tell them to come back in 90 days? Most of us didn't. But the law did say that this special expense fee was due at the successful completion of a probationary period. Well, the law has changed. I'm losing my battery. The law has changed where now you can collect, according and be copacetic with the statute, you can collect that initially. You don't have to wait till the successful end of the deferral period. This is my favorite statute of the legislative year. We can't have quotas, right? We can't have the city council say, you need to generate police department this many tickets a month, and court, I need to see this much revenue. That makes sense. Separation of powers. You have no quotas, no reward or compensation for money brought into the court. But what one hand giveth, the other one takes away. Subsection C said, well, notwithstanding A and B, this doesn't mean that your city can't consider the source and the amount of the money that you bring in when evaluating the performance of a judge employed by the municipality. So that has a chilling impact on many of us, but the legislature in its wisdom has repealed subsection C. So I think that's good news. DPS reporting, for those of you doing this administrative process, it used to be 30 days that you had to report to DPS. Now it's 7. At the time this law passed, DPS, I'm told, was 6 months to 4 months behind processing these. So why there was a push to shorten the time that we had to get this information almost a year after the legislative session remains a mystery to me. All right, have you seen this change in your jury forms? There's the juror exemption for those who have custody of a child under the age of 15. It used to read age 10, but then it dawned on someone that it is a criminal offense to leave someone under the age of 15 unattended. So the law has been modified. We've changed our forms. And so if you've got someone claiming exemption, caring for a 14-year-old, then they are exempt. That's in the government code. This is one we hope is one we don't have to pull up. This arose out of a case in Dallas. A judge was censured by the State Commission on Judicial Conduct. Now, that is the lesser punishment to a sanction. So this judge was censured. Judge didn't really go for that. and found that there was no mechanism to appeal that censure. Dallas spent millions of dollars defending this, and ultimately it was recognized that this law needed to be changed, and we've got a process that you can not only appeal the sanction, the more serious slap, but a censure as well. All right. I'm moving along efficiently because we're a little bit uncomfortable. We'll go get some cold water here in a minute. All right, to recap, how many new court costs do we have that we're dealing with this year? Who's still with me? Two, thank you, sir. Two new court costs. Dang. So when do you begin collecting new court costs? January 1st, right. Legislature's coming back into session here too soon, and we will be addressing this before we know it. And then we can get out early and go see Rob. All right, so moving violation fee is applied to convictions on which offenses? All right, this is your softball, ladies and gentlemen. A moving violation fee is applied to moving violations. Right? All right. I adjusted this question until the comptroller came out with their list. This was called the civil justice fee. And that's because it was to collect the information on the racial profiling. So it was formerly known as civil justice fee, now moving violation. Child passenger safety seat court cost is? How much? That's child safety fund. This is for the passenger seat, that's our problematic 15-cent court cost. So I had a fleeting bit of information also to share with you, but it's gone. So take a look. If you've got additional questions about court cost, when you got to collect them, what you get to keep, I've got a summary of the court cost in your course materials, and then a breakdown, say, for the consolidated fee, where it goes, abused children's counseling, Crime Stoppers, breath alcohol testing, that all is collected and dispersed in our consolidated court cost, rehabilitation, judicial training, operator and chauffeur's license. Now, how that happened, I'm not sure. So, also, what else do I have in there? I have a moving violation chart that is interesting reading at the very end of the materials. And don't be confused on the right side that you've got yes, no, yes, no. That does not mean yes, it's a moving violation, no, it's not a moving violation. This chart, remember, was compiled for the driver surcharge program. So this yes, no means points are assessed or points are not assessed. Like I said, it's been updated to include a couple new offenses. That's on our website. The new chart did not come out before these materials had to go to publication. So that's what I've got for you. Oh, there's my trick question. Now I've got it. So the child passenger safety seat is long overdue, cutting-edge legislation, a good idea gone terribly wrong. There is no, you can pick your own answer to that question. 15 cents is one of the correct answers. They're the babies. Thank you very much for your attention. Yes? No. And the reason we have sign-in sheets is because we get grants from TxDOT. We're not checking up on you. And so we get paid per head. And that's when you see a sign-in sheet go around. It's because it's a course that is offered under that grant. Any questions? I'll be around. I'll be at the hospitality as soon as I can get there. Thank you very much for your attention. Oh, man. You know, usually we're going to sell Snuggies at the seminars next time because we're usually all just blue by now. But and then you've got one more breakout room. You're working on your 10,000 steps.
Actually, no.
No, you're taking the elevator. Well, it's at least 20 to get there. And then the sweat lodge we're working on.